And we're now transported for Act One to the fancy Paris home of a well-to-do scientist, Spallanzani. He's reflecting on the fact that, through his daughter, Olympia, he'll be able to recover the 500 ducats he lost when the moneylender he was doing business with went bankrupt. There's still the problem of the inventor, Coppelius. Spallanzani is worried that he may try to claim paternity of Olympia. Hoffman appears. It seems that he's now a pupil of Spallanzani. Physics is everything, says Spallanzani mysteriously. Olympia is worth a great deal. That leaves Hoffman totally confused. Spallanzani leaves to see to the champagne for party guests who will soon be arriving. There's a curtain off to one side. Hoffman raises the curtain and sees Olympia there sleeping. He's enraptured and starts waxing poetic. Let my passion flood you with light. This is an exquisite aria beginning à vivre deux. Ah, to live together, to have the same hopes, the same memories. This is one of the loveliest passages Offenbach ever created for a tenor. You really have to float the voice to keep it buoyant and to bring maximum sweetness to every phrase until the final ascent, where you can let the sound out and give it a fine ring. How unfortunate that the first Hoffmann, Jean-Alexandre Talazac, didn't live long enough for us to hear his voice on records. He was only 39 when he died in 1892. He must have been an amazing singer. In less than a decade, he created the leading tenor roles in Les Contes d'Hoffmann, Lacmé, Manon, Le Roi Dix, and Samson et Dalila. When Niklaus arrives, Hoffman immediately starts talking about how wonderful Olympia is, but Niklaus is totally skeptical. He sings a little two-verse number about a doll who sang in unison with a little brass cockerel to whom she sighed, "I love you." For the mezzo-soprano singing this trouser role, it's a challenge in this aria to keep an extraordinarily light touch in the singing, also 100% accuracy even in the shortest notes, while maintaining maximum charm. We'll move to a different EMI recording of Hoffmann for this aria. Anne Murray sings with the orchestra of the Théâtre Royal de la Monnaie, Sylvain Cambrelin conducting. Now the nasty, seedy Coppelius appears. He's dragging a sack full of various kinds of eyeglasses. He introduces himself to Hoffmann and Niklaus, and to us, with the aria J'ai des yeux. I have eyes, living eyes, eyes of flame that see into the depths of the soul. He tells Hoffmann that if he wants to see into a woman's heart, he should purchase a pair of these glasses. This is a tricky number. You need real power, but also the ability to color the voice while articulating the words with terrific precision, much of the time at a quick speed, which makes it twice as challenging. This aria wasn't part of the world premiere of Les Contes d'Hoffmann. When the opera was done in Monte Carlo in 1904, opera director Raoul Gainsbourg wanted major changes. He worked with composer André Bloch and writer Pierre Barbier, son of Hoffmann's original librettist. They gave Coppelius new text and took the music for J'ai des yeux from an aria that had belonged to another villain in this opera, Dapertutto. We'll meet him later on. So Hoffmann buys some glasses from Coppelius. When Spallanzani reappears, he and Coppelius have a rather tense conversation. It seems that Olympia's eyes came from Coppelius. Spallanzani can have full paternity of Olympia if he pays Coppelius 500 ducats. He gives him an IOU and tells him he can get the money from the moneylender Elias. So once Coppelius hears that, he and Spallanzani are great pals again. Well, the grandly attired party guests now arrive. They've all heard that Spallanzani's daughter Olympia is ravishing, and they can't wait to meet her. When she's brought in, everyone admires her eyes, her figure, her outfit, but it's clear to us that this girl is actually a mechanical doll. Hoffmann's looking at her through the glasses he just bought, and he's totally enchanted. Spallanzani expresses his daughter's delight on her behalf and announces that she'll sing an aria accompanying herself. He asks everyone, should she play the harpsichord, guitar, or harp? His servant, Cochinilla, cries, "The harp!" And a mysterious deep voice answers from offstage, "The harp." Cochinilla fetches the harp, and Olympia begins. Singing her aria, of course, the soprano needs pinpoint accuracy and incredible cleanness in her sound, but she can't sound like a machine. She still has to be musical. You'll hear Olympia's energy run out, and then the cranking sound as Cochinilla winds her back up. Oh. Adele Isaac, who created Olympia, Antonia, and Stella in this opera, was just the right choice. Not only was she a big favorite at the Opéra Comique, she was also a singer who was equally comfortable in coloratura and lyric roles. She had a lot of brilliance in her voice and was adorable on stage. Niklaus asks why Olympia isn't joining everyone for supper, but Spallanzani manages to avoid the question. Everyone moves to the dining room, but Hoffmann stays behind and woos Olympia, who's sitting in an armchair. Only when Hoffmann touches her shoulder does she respond, and all she says is, "Oui, oui." When he touches her a little more aggressively, she rushes out of the room. As he starts to follow her, he's confronted by Niklaus, who says the guests are talking about Olympia. They're saying she's dead, or more accurately, that she was never alive. Hoffmann's oblivious. "She loves me," he cries, and rushes after her. Coppelius now stalks in. The IOU was worthless, because Elias is now bankrupt. Coppelius wants revenge. Well, Olympia comes back in with Hoffmann, and she dances with him to the guests' delight. But the dancing turns frantic, and Hoffmann is finally exhausted. Spallanzani says to Olympia, "That's enough, child." But Olympia just responds with repetitions of the single syllable, "Ah." Here again, the coloratura is difficult, especially in the final lines, where Olympia really pulls out all the stops, vocally speaking. Koshinia leads Olympia to her room, but Coppelius is there. We hear the loud sounds of something being broken. Koshinia rushes in, saying the eyeglasses man is in there. Spallanzani is beside himself. Coppelius now comes in, holding in his hand pieces of Olympia. Hoffmann now realizes that he loved a mechanical doll. The guests mock him, and Spallanzani is cursing Coppelius as the curtain falls on Act 1.